Right, call this meeting to order. Today's Thursday, July 24th. The East County Board of Zoning Adjustments. Do a quick roll call.
Chair Andy.
Here.
Member Imhoff.
Here.
Vice Chair Souza.
Here.
We have a quorum.
All right, we'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
Frank, you want to start us?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty, and justice for all.
Right, along the agenda, open forum. So if anybody would like to speak either online or here about anything that's not on the agenda, this is your time to do so. And Damien, we'll start with people online.
Okay, we have no one online wishing to speak.
Anybody present that would like to speak on anything that's not on the agenda today?
I got a question. Is it hot in here for anybody? Yeah. Can you guys figure that out? I mean, I'm feeling, are you feeling hot? I am.
We'll make it quick then.
All right. Yeah.
Field trip report. Report on the field trips.
We have no field trip reports.
Go to the Neighborhood Preservation and Zoning Ordinance Abatement, item one.
Okay, item one. Ed Lepiak and Michael Peters are here to report on this item at 9782 Flynn Road, unincorporated Alameda County. This hearing is to reconsider the June 26, 2025 decision of the East Board of Zoning Adjustments for the imposition of the retroactive fines, $1,000 per day for the import. Michael Peters, Ed Lepiak.
Just a point of order before you start. Under Robert's rules, which is what you're supposed to follow, one of you who was here at the last hearing and voted for the motion should make a motion now to make an amendment to reopen
the public hearing.
The matter.
So moved.
Second.
Okay.
And have a vote. Roll call.
Okay. Chair Edge.
Yes.
Vice Chair Souza.
Yes.
Member Imhoff.
Yes.
Okay. Motion passes.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, board members. This is Ed Lavallo, Alameda County Code Enforcement Manager. We're here in front of you today to ask for reconsideration of the decision you made on the two cases that we brought forward last month regarding 9782 Flynn Road, South Livermore, California, APN 099B-56002-6. And also for 16500 Grantline Road, Mountain House, California, 95391, APN number 99B-7750-3-6. This is regarding the soil importing without administrative conditional use permit or conditional use permit for the above listed properties. And at the administrative hearing held on June 26th, at your board of zoning adjustments, these properties were declared a public nuisance in violation of Alameda County Court Ordinance 17.66. In addition, your board accepted staff recommendation to order the abatement of the violations. And your board also imposed a retroactive fines of $1,000 per day, starting the date the violation was verified up to the date of the hearing. Below in your staff report, you'll see a summary of what those totals entail. For 782 Flynn Road, it would be from June 24. The total of that retroactive fine would be $387,000. And for 16500 Grantline Road, from September 11, 2024, that total would be $254,000. So code enforcement, myself, did provide an alternative recommendation at that time to start daily fines. If the owner failed to abide by the, your abatement order, but that was rejected by your board. Code enforcement is concerned about the hefty retroactive fines imposed on these properties. Firstly, because the property owners were never provided notice prior to that to the hearing that the fines may be applied retroactively on the date of the violation. Even though the agenda did indicate for both items stated in part assessment of continuing fines and fees, those fees prior to the hearing were imposed by staff per vehicle delivery or depositing of soil on the properties. So Michael Peters went out to the site, sat in front of the property to verify the trucks coming in, and we've charged him $1,000 per truckload, considering that a delivery. We did not impose daily fines prior to the hearing, and the fines assessed at the hearing are not continuing from the staff's current methodology of the fines and fees. Furthermore, in section 1759 of the Alameda Court Ordinance under 200B states that designated officers or employees have the authority to impose fines and fees on the violation. While 1759-200 includes a schedule of fines and fees, those imposed are imposed administratively by staff. Your board has jurisdiction to hear appeals of those fines and fees under section 1759-200, but it does not have jurisdiction to impose them directly. The retroactive fines imposed at the June 26, 25 hearing were imposed by your board, not by administrative staff. So code enforcement understands your desire to aggressively fine the blatant violators. We wish to ensure you your decision is defensible. Accordingly, we recommend reconsideration of retroactive daily fines of $1,000 for both properties. The abatement orders of June 26, 25 should stand. And court enforcement intends to continue our administrative assessment of fines and fees regardless of the outcome of this hearing. That's the end of my staff report. And I'll take any questions you have.
So one question was the original staff recommendation to fine from back when it was
first day,
was that the original staff recommendation?
Yes.
No, it was not part of our recommendation.
So that's so the board decided to go back to the original date of the first violation and start then.
Yeah. So
that's great.
So they use a per truck violation. And based on advice from council, we wanted to make it more punitive. And so we were advised that we could do that with $1,000 per day based on the date of first violation. And that's what's our recommendation.
Exactly. So I think my question is for council. What happened with the letter that with my signature on it or my name?
So you asked me to look into that, whether there was something that could be done. It appears that it could be considered a forgery under state law, which is a misdemeanor, but it's not a clear cut set of facts. So I referred that to CDA. And it is in their jurisdiction to determine whether they want to proceed with, alerting the authorities as to that. And so that is ongoing. I think it's being going and being pursued, but there's been no final determination about exactly what to do about it.
It was on a county letterhead also.
Right.
With Chris Baser's name on top, and then the second one wasn't his name. So, yeah, I think I'm taking that pretty personal.
So
nothing has been done in 30 days.
That's correct. Nothing, affirmatively has been done. There's been legal investigation as to whether the letter that we saw was, in violation of a law. So we did research on that. it does appear that it could have been in violation of state law. I don't want to
cloud it
that much further.
But if you're handing this letter to every truck, then the truckers hand it to every highway patrolman and every sheriff, then I think there's a problem. I mean, obviously there is a problem. And it's surprising to me that you would find in 30 days, nothing's gotten done. That's my question. Next question is, Lori, I guess, well, I'm a little puzzled on why we voted on how we voted last month then. We voted on that for the fines to be $1,000 a load and $1,000 a day. Now, that was under advice from staff, correct?
Well, from our council.
Right.
But not, from, just to make it clear, not from the code enforcement staff. It came from our council.
All right.
Yeah, just to make
I that. I want to know, right? Point. What's the maximum penalty that we can give them? Well, I don't have a lot of time today, so let's get to the point.
Well, we've already assessed several fines and fees. I think the total so far for, I have some rough numbers here. So our grant line is already up to $50,977, and Plinett's already up to $55,724. So we
that's,
can still
from my understanding, that's just if you were to go back from the day, from the last BISA meeting, is that the fines? The last 30
based
days
on truck count.
That this is based on zoning, escalating fines, and also the $1,000 per truckload that we're able to verify.
But based on when does that tally start compared to the tally that the 387,000? Like, is that I want to get the clarification of the two tallies when they're getting started, I guess.
Okay, so we typically start our fines and fees after the initial notice is sent, and we do re-inspections, and each re-inspection has a consequence of either fines or fees or inspections, administrative fees. So yeah, it started from the time that Michael Peters went out there and there's failed inspections.
Basically. What day was that?
Some people's job date.
Different dates for different parcels.
Yeah, so there's several instances there were like a one-time thing. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yeah, September of last year for Grantline. That's when the fines and fees started. And again, that totaled roughly $50,977. And then on Flynn Road, it started September 6th of 2024. And that's currently at $55,700.
And that's the maximum.
It's not the maximum. We're not done with issuing fines and fees. We can still continue, but that's not part of the decision you need to make today. That's
in our report a month ago, we've seen some pictures. There was concrete, there was garbage, there was tree stumps, there was whatever. I don't have the report with me. Obviously, that wasn't hauled away. It was buried. So, yeah. I guess my question is, once the abatement notice is sent to abate all this, are we talking about removing the garbage, the concrete, the stump, the contaminated soil, the testing of contaminated soil? Is this where we're heading with this?
Well, in terms of the abatement order, we've requested a series of actions that need to take place even before actual abatement is going to be performed. For example, we asked to for the owner to hire a licensed professional for the full evaluation and testing of the site, including a written report with detailed analysis and recommendation for abatement procedures to be provided to the county. I think your decision was 30 days, is that correct?
Yes,
30 days. Yeah, and then includes the report will include determination of general area and volume of the imported soil or fill, which may include other things, geotechnical investigation for the soil stability and safety, and the method of abatement that they want to propose.
So the So after we concluded our meeting last month, did the parcel owners get notified right away that they had to have this abatement assessment and abatement done within 30 days?
Because of this development of us asking for reconsideration, we have not sent the resolution yet.
Okay, so the parcels owners have not been notified. Have they been in contact with you since our meeting in June?
No.
Were they notified of last month's meeting to come?
Yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah.
And they were notified of this today's meeting?
Yes. Yes.
And are they on here in the room or are they on Zoom?
I'm not sure if there's anybody online.
It does not appear that the respondent is here.
Okay, thank you. Have you heard from them, either party?
No.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So just procedurally, are we supposed to open this for public comment or anything?
Yes.
Okay.
And just so we're all clear, we're basically trying to determine when to start the fines. Like that, everything else has been voted on what needs to be done with the land, and what our agenda here today is to say, okay, do we start when on September 2024, or is it backdated to
Yeah, they're asking us to reconsider the fines.
The fines, yeah. of when the fines start.
Yeah, but not the abatement.
Not the abatement. Not any of that. That's what we're discussing.
To be clear, the fines have already been imposed. That's not part of our recommendation. We have the clear authority to continue fines and fees, but the fines that's already imposed on the property, they never appealed any of those fines. They've already, most of them have already gone to lien. So that's nothing for you to decide on the fines that have already been imposed.
Just to be clear, Edward, those are the fines you refer to that are $50,000 and $55,000.
Correct.
Not the ones that are in question today.
Correct.
These fines are in addition to those.
Yes.
Okay.
So their decision today is whether to go ahead and stand by your decision to impose the daily fines from when the violation was discovered or not.
So you mentioned in your write-up to us that you're concerned about the defensibility of our decision.
Yes, it raises red flags for us for due process and also for potential liability in the future for the county.
And what is that form of liability?
That we didn't follow due process and,
Okay. So it really comes down to whether we feel we could defend our position that we follow due process.
Correct.
That would mean that the parcel owners would have had to been notified.
Yes.
That they could be subject to these fines, because these fines that we would like to impose are somewhat elective.
Yes.
So it seemed to me, based on the packages that you gave us, there was lengthy notification.
Correct.
Lots and lots of notification to both parcel owners about the violations that they were being accused of.
Yes.
Lots of follow-up, lots of back and forth, acknowledgement that they had received the correspondence. I mean, that seemed like a lot of due process to me. So I don't understand the crux of your concern about due process.
The reasoning for us being concerned is that we've never notified them that they are subject to daily fines. We've notified them that they're subject to a failed inspection fee, administrative fees, $1,000 per occurrence of delivery, but we've never said that you could be charged $1,000 a day for each violation.
But they know they've been notified of the ordinance itself, right? The ordinance that they're in violation of. They're actually in violation of several ordinances. But
correct.
All the ordinances they are in violation of, they've been notified of.
Yes.
And there are repercussions if you violate these ordinances, including fines. And I don't think you always spell out, like, I don't think you notify them that you're going to be charged $1,000 per truckload, right? You're not that specific. They just know that they're in violation and they're going to be subject to fines and fees. right?
And then also point I wanted to make is this under abatement procedures on in 1759 is that code enforcement has the authority to impose fines and fees, and the BZA has the authority to potentially hear appeals and waive fines and fees.
Right.
Not to impose fees.
So technically, I don't believe we were imposing the fees. We were directing you to impose the fees. I believe technically that's what we were doing.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
And I guess my other question, well, sorry to step on that.
No, that's good.
But, Michael, you've been on both sites many a times. I think you don't get allowed on the property, right? I mean, is that right?
Yeah, I've only been to Flynn Road to do an inspection with Public Works, their staff on Flynn Road, but the other one I've never been on.
But you've been at the gate.
On where? Flynn Road?
On Grantline.
I've been to the gate.
They don't let you in, correct?
No, yeah.
Right. So you've been there. I mean,
yes, I've been.
So you see what I'm saying?
So how do you know how many trucks go in? I mean, it's $1,000 a truck. How do you know how many trucks are going in a day? Like how's that?
Well, I go at night. I observe it myself. Take the photographs. Each photograph.
So anytime you're out there, you can just
mm-hmm.
Then when you're not out there, there can be 100 more trucks go in that don't get the fine.
Yeah. There could be.
It's probably not too far fetched to believe that there's maybe daily truck activity, and the only ones they're being fined for in your methodology are the ones that you've observed. I understand that. But we got testimony last time we were here from neighbors who testified that there were trucks all the time on a daily basis. Whether you were there or not, there were trucks going in all the time. So
I think it's on Saturdays and Sundays also.
Could be.
And I think it's a lot at night. So somehow you're requiring the citizens of Alameda County to abide by all these rules. And I think there's two, if I got it right, there's two parcels in Alameda County right now that abide by all the import rules. And it's costing them thousands of dollars for testing and engineering and on and on and on. And yet you have these two parcels that know the requirements that aren't doing anything.
Well, but back to the due process, I respect your opinion on this. I guess maybe I'd like to look to counsel for some advice, but I believe due process has been taken care of because of all the notifications. They have copies of all the ordinances. So in my opinion, due process is covered. Could they challenge it? Of course. You can challenge anything at any time. This is the state of California.
Were those notices sent in on registered mail?
Certified mail.
They signed for it. You know they got it.
Sometimes they sign it, sometimes they don't. They can refuse it. Then it comes back to us unsigned. But it also goes by regular mail. Certified and regular mail.
Well, but by that, they can say they never got it.
But procedurally, this is what we do with every case.
Right.
And we trust that after all that effort on your part to touch base with or notify the parcel owners, we believe that they've been notified. I mean, we do that on every case we review, right? So I have no reason to doubt that they have not been properly notified in this case, especially given in both cases, it's over a year that this has been going on. I mean, if you miss one or two, you know, there were dozens of notifications.
The question is for county council.
Yeah, I mean, I believe due process has been, and I appreciate your concern on this. You do want every action to be defensible. I just believe if it comes down to due process, I believe due process has been done. But Aaron, maybe. What is the direct question to you?
Yeah.
So I'm just offering my opinion. I'm not an attorney. I believe procedurally that they have satisfied due process in this case. And I guess maybe you would offer us an opinion.
In your opinion, has due process been served?
I can't give you that opinion.
Okay.
That's your determination to make.
Okay.
But you've been versed in the background on the question. I would say perhaps staff is that they believe there's a due process issue, but they think they're good. You're saying, no, we think they got plenty of notice. And, you know, there's some powder for both of those.
Yeah.
But maybe there could be a third way, and you may want to discuss that with staff. If there's a third way to go about this, whereby you satisfy all the concerns that staff has and still ratchet up the fines or bring fines under the per day versus, that might be an avenue to discuss.
Okay.
So before we open public comment, this is kind of where I stand. If we go back to the initial letters that were sent that specifically designated $1,000 a day and $1,000 per truck of the $55,000 per, where we currently stand. I think that's a good starting point. Again, I think the thing that we have to also look at is it's not only the fines, it's how we want this to stop, right? And and $387,000 might deter, we're going to fight this to the extent to where this gives at least a number to where they know they're on the watch, they know they're getting fined per day. It gives us a point to at least where you guys, the county, feels comfortable enforcing from this point, having the paper trail to enforce it. And obviously, they might be here, but they have not been in contact with the county for the last 30 days. So I doubt they really, but I think the end goal here is to get this abated, right? To get this stopping and
Let's start it.
Yeah. So again, just my opinion before we open public comment is where we start. I think the big fines, in my opinion, even though they are warranted, I'm not trying to disagree with the board, but I think we have a starting point of where you guys feel comfortable going after this and aggressively going after it. That's kind of where I sit.
I think here again, and this is just what I know because I live in these areas. The most loads I've ever loaded out in a day were like 485 loads. And I can tell you where I was at when I did it, and it was a record for Granite Construction. But if you're getting charged $300 a load to dump, you're paying to dump these at 400 loads a day, a $300,000 fine is not that much to me. That's in one day. You're talking a year. That to me is really puzzling.
I think the other thing I want to clarify, because I think we talked about this last time too, Edward, was that the parcel owners have an appeal process. Once we make this decision of whatever we're going to do go forward, if they don't like it, they can appeal it. Isn't that correct?
Yes, they can appeal it to the Board of Supervisors.
Okay. And if that were to happen, would we have an opportunity to appear that day and explain to the Board of Supervisors our rationale for asking you to apply the heftier fines?
I'm not sure, but what I can tell you is that I've been with the county now for over 8 years, and I personally never had a case where we had to retroactively fine somebody from the day that we discovered a violation. So I would have to ask the procedure if you need to appear or send a statement, perhaps a written statement.
Well, it's in the staff report. I mean, they know what we did.
But again, there, it's. I think the issue is it's the retroactive, where the county feels comfortable retroactively charging.
Yeah.
For the point that, right. So and they know they're getting fined. But as of September 2024, they knew exactly what they're getting fined. These are the fines.
Well, he's been there. They won't let him on the property.
Right.
And then also the. Just to make a point, so if this does go ahead, if they don't appeal, our next course of action is to send an invoice, and if that's not paid in 30 days, then we place it as a lien on the property to be approved by the board. So that's basically
it's going to be like that piece of property on Happy Valley Road. That guy dumped over 6,000 loads, and he walked away. Then the bank got it, and I don't know where it is, but I saw a truck the other night leaving there, and it was dark.
Yeah,
and look, and nothing's happened there. You had a notice on the telephone pole, 6,000 yards had to be removed, was contaminated, from what I understand. Never removed any of it. I mean, that's in my neighborhood.
Right.
You see where I'm at with this? I'm looking for a motion, Lori.
Well, I think we have
to open
procedure.
Yeah, let's go. We'll open open forum. So we'll start. Actually, anybody here that would like to speak on this agenda, please. Well, we got some cards. Perfect.
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 Oh, you know, I think in the minutes his name was misspelled. Paul, you might want to spell your last name for.
I wrote it down on the paper.
Well, he had a G in there.
So I'm a bit confused about. Again, first of all, I want to start out. I agree with you. The fines aren't my concern. My concern is I want the activity to stop on the road. Number one. Number two is the cleanup process. All that, all those materials, the debris, the garbage, the possibly contaminated soil goes into my water. I draw my water to feed my, you know, to supply my home, my family, my livestock. And so that's an issue because, you know, we have a family tradition of ranching and it's going to be passed down to my grandchildren and their grandchildren. So with that being said, this is more important than I believe everybody's taking this because this is our how we live, how we survive. There's a lot of things you can't survive with. One of them isn't water. You have to have that. And so that's a big concern. And with that being said, I'm confused about this fineage. You know, that you're telling you start off by saying that you made the property owner aware of their violations. And so I agree with you on that also. I mean, you've did your due diligence by letting this property owner aware of what he's doing, and he hasn't done anything to stop. It's continuing. So with that being said, why are you saying that it's a red flag to you and that, you know, you're concerned about the fines, that he's not being, you know, that he what, you know, he's not aware of his violations? It seems like it's going, you're saying two things that I'm not understanding. You made him it's very clear that you made him aware that he's in violation, but yet you don't want to fine him. And why is that?
Thank you. Yeah, and we can answer those. But thank you.
Now we don't get to tell.
How are you?
Just a quick question, and I agree with you. The issue, and I'm aware of the property that was abandoned. So this gentleman obviously wants to pay this place off. He's got big plans for himself. I understand your issue about, you know, concern about fines, but I think at the end of the day, these fines are important because there needs to be money to clean up. There needs to be money to fix the roads. Where is that going to come from? If he abandons that property, which that could happen, what's going to happen? How's that going to be taken care of? How are we going to go after him? How's the county going to go after him to get that fixed? I mean, he's built high walls so you can't see the trucks going in. There was trucks going in, I think at 9 o'clock the other night. My neighbor took pictures and sent them to Sean. I've got oodles of pictures way before you started documenting that. And I do understand that you can only go on what you documented. But for quality of life, the danger of those trucks on that road, and you can speak to this as well, Frank, is unbelievable. I've almost gotten hit. It's really not technically a two-lane road. It clearly states on the road what kind of vehicles can and can't go on there. I wouldn't have a problem if he dumped, you know, a few hundred loads of dirt, but this is thousands. And if he was actually doing something, I don't know, putting a pad for a little barn or something, this is totally a moneymaker for him. And all the disrespect to the county, Zone 7, they're downstream from them. And I talked to Dennis Gams, asking him if he's been, you know, aware of this, because that's going to eventually affect them. So I think it's more than just aesthetics. There's a long-term effect here. So anyway, it's just comments. I do know that you all are trying to come up with a solution for this problem, and I do appreciate it. I do support where you all are with this, and hopefully the county and all of your people can come up with a solution that, I don't want to say a win-win for him, but it needs to be fixed. And we appreciate all the hard work you're putting into it. If we as residents on Flynn can do anything, we are more than happy to. We're up and down that road multiple times a day. And I got my phone on the ready. So if you need more pictures, I can help you out. Thank you.
Thank you.
And my name again is Karen Sweet, and I also am a neighbor. And since that last hearing, certainly there have been a lot more trucks. And one of the neighbors that did not speak last meeting also almost got run over a couple of times. My comments are after thanking you for taking this head on, although I know it's more complex across the county, and that doesn't surprise me. But I am concerned that if we do enforce the removal of the dirt, the truck situation is just going to be in reverse. And the same driver, perhaps the same public safety issues, the same issues with the roads are going to be an issue. But I also wonder if they don't abate after the abatement order goes into effect, what can we do? Is there a way that we can report them? Like, do we just sort of wait back for some other enforcement officer to come out and take a picture? So I guess we would like direction too on how we can participate in that quote enforcement. But what real the other thing that alarmed me when I went on the owner's subcontractor's website, however that ownership goes, I see his background in big development. And it just made raise my curiosity that on top of that utilities building is planned some humongous or development, much like what was being planned for Roos Road, something like that, or Blackhawk, that this is a precursor for something else that we'll have to come back and deal with down the road. And so if the illegal dumping gives him the opportunity to take on his vision, and I may be totally wrong, but I was just doing website kind of researching, then he's got a lot more issues, and that project obviously would take water, and there is no water out there. The neighbor has to haul in drinking water. I don't know how the neighbor in front gets his potable water, but there's not unlimited water to do that kind of a project. So I'm concerned about what might be down the road if this landowner continues to flatten out the hill. And again, thank you very much. We're looking, I guess I'm also curious on enforcement around the county too, as a member of the Ag Advisory Committee, when we have helped you adopt this ordinance, kind of like how do we work together to make the soil good. And I think the other next door neighbor who is a soil scientist commented that the soil science the soil testing that might be required might take more than the 30 days that you were hoping it would be. So he was concerned about that time limit being a barrier to meeting your objective. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, it's Michelle Sweet.
Thank you.
I'm Karen's daughter-in-law, and I also live on the ramp on Flynn Road, neighbors there. I'm a newbie, so excuse me for this, but I can honestly speak to everyone here and say I've lived at the ranch for 33 years, and this is probably one of the most difficult things that we've encountered. I mean, we've had sex trafficking, we've had drugs, we've had all kinds of stuff, but I feel like these trucks are just a huge problem. I have children that have to drive to school every day. I mean, not now, but during this time. And, you know, when they get to school and they call me and they're upset because they almost got hit by a truck, I mean, as a mother, I'm concerned. Also as a mother, and I don't know if you've noticed on your inspections, but there is, and as everyone's been saying, there's a lot of garbage in that dirt. And I don't know if it's the landowners or if they lease out the property, but there are children on site and they are playing in this dirt. I've actually stopped my car and saw four children up on one of the berms of the thing, and they're pulling out garbage, like I don't know if it was tires or plastic or whatever. And so I feel that is an endangerment issue for these children. They shouldn't be like, is it what if there's needles in there? We don't know. We don't know where this is coming from. So again, newbies, if I'm going to fall involved, if 30 days is enough to evaluate the soil or what's in it. But I just want to speak to that, that's also just endangering, not just for those children, but the trucks and everything. And then my other question was, is Fish and Game been involved in this at any point? Because they're plugging up culverts and creeks, and I can't imagine that that's flying with every, you know, with the other government departments. So I don't need to know if that's been looked at or if we need to bring them into it, but I know that's a concern, right? Anyway, and again, so I get to speak on the fines, my opinion, and I know that everyone else has kind of covered the same thing. I think fine is the issue, but it's stopping that. So I don't think $365,000 is enough, because like you said, they're making plenty of money. And we've just on my way to work in the morning, I've taken pictures. I've been behind four trucks going to town and then coming back, I'll, you know, hit a couple more. So in just in my observations, I've seen at least 5 or 6 trucks a day. Not to say that there's not more, but, and I'm happy to, like Sheila said, I'm happy to take pictures. I'll plop a chair down there and film for you guys if you want me to. So anyway,
thank you.
So just to be clear, this was public comment for both items 2 under the zoning enforcement. Okay, next one, big one to know.
Yeah. I don't know if we have
to. Yeah, we'll have one.
Thank you.
Kelly?
Obviously, I don't know all the details on the enforcement procedure, but it seems to me like if you gave direction to start fines and then they figured out, oh, wait a minute, we can't start the fines last month or last year or yesterday or tomorrow, and we have to send out all these notices and do all things, follow all these procedures or the whatever the new fines are, then they should just go ahead and do whatever they need to do and then come back to you later and say, okay, we did this, we did that, and now we're ready to proceed with the proper notices. If you want to abort, if you want to cancel that, that's fine. But if we're going to follow all our procedures, and it might take longer, but they'll just tell you later when it's done or when it's ready, when they're happy or when they're confident. Confident, that's the word. Thanks.
Thank you.
Damien, is everybody online that would like to speak on this matter?
There's no hands raised. For those online, if you would like to speak, you can hit the button, raise your hand. For the individual on the telephone, you can raise your hand using *9. There is no one online wishing to speak at this time.
With that, we will close public comment.
So this whole thing got started last time because we asked for guidance on how we could impose cease and desist immediately. So the evidence is daunting on both of these cases. It's been going on a long, long time. So in my opinion, it's egregious. It's still going on. We have no other tool except for fines. If there was a way we could physically stop them, we would. But the only tool we have are these fines. And it's meant to be a deterrent. It's meant to get the attention of the parcel owners and to make them stop. So if we could do something else, I agree with the speakers. It'd be great if we had a different tool, but we don't, that I know of. And so that was the reason for the fines. I don't know if Fish and Wildlife have been notified, but when this assessment gets done, if there are serious violations that impact Fish and Wildlife, they will be brought into the loop, absolutely. I'll be honest, I have no confidence that any abatement will be done at all. I think what's likely to happen is these fines will be applied as a lien against the property. And then when the property should get abandoned and foreclosed and eventually sold to someone, at that time there would be abatement done, but that could be years away. I don't know. That's all speculation on my part. I don't know what will actually happen here. So with all the discussion we've had, and I appreciate all the work that's been done on this, I'm still in favor of the retroactive fines from the start of the violation.
What? So the $1,000 a day, where does that number come from? Like, is that, like, what's the max you could fine someone for, you know? I mean, where's this number? How's this $1,000 a day, or $5,000 a day, or $10,000 a day, or $100 a day? How do these numbers, how do we get to these numbers?
It's actually part of the ordinance that we can impose either $1,000 per violation per day, or delivery, truck deliveries. So it's in the 17.66, the soil reporting ordinance.
And it's stated up to $1,000 a day. Is it up to, or is that?
It's up to.
Okay.
It's up to $1,000 a day.
Well, if I was you, I'd be having a guy camp there 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, and just start with a clicker every time a truck dumps, you get $1,000. So I probably started that last week. That's just me, though.
I'm certainly willing to hear your suggestions about middle ground. I'm not comfortable with just the $55,000. This is so egregious. I think we have to use the tools that we have, and that's not enough.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly because we don't have enough observation time on the truck traffic. I mean, with all due respect, I don't expect you to camp out there every night and take pictures, but you can only do what you can do, but you're only there occasionally. But it's happening on a daily basis. We know that from other observations. And so I'm not comfortable with just the penalties just on the truck traffic that you've observed.
And although I agree, what I see happening is there might be that loophole that will have an appeal, which will again prolong the process of our agenda here of getting this stopped. So that's where I'm, you know, trying to find the middle ground of, you know, our main goal is to get this stopped. And if there's an appeal, and they get appeal $55,000 too. So it doesn't really, I guess the number doesn't really matter, but at least at the point where county feels comfortable saying this is no, they've had notice of here, there's nothing to appeal because they've had the notices. If they didn't have the notices, now that opens up, you know, litigation and lawyers and a lot of, you know, we could tie things up a long time that's going to prolong what we really want to get done. That's my deal. Like, again, I the money is important, and yeah, but
I got a question. Because of the letter with, call it my signature on it, and the illegalness of the dump and the debris, which we see in the pictures, how come we don't get the sheriff out there every day and block the gate and start citing trucks that says you can't dump here? How come we don't do that? This thing needs to stop, and it needs to stop yesterday. How come that isn't done?
I don't think they have jurisdictions over imposing the soil importing ordinance. And if everything we're doing right now, what we've done so far is we're ratcheting up our enforcement. So if you impose the most latest thing is the abatement order, you got 30 days, you got to do what the county's asking you to do, hire a professional, do all these things. And then if they don't, then I think we can turn up the ratchet even more and start going out there more frequently, documenting, and we can also explore other legal possibilities for injunction or even criminal.
There's no exploring.
Referral to the.
You have
to. We've already alerted Fish and Wildlife, Zone 7, Sheriff, CHP is on the lookout for trucks that are not supposed to be on the road. And we've also notified which fishing game, Jim Gordon with the district attorney's office. So we're poised to ratchet up the enforcement, but we just need to follow certain procedures. So I think we're on that path now. So,
well, even if they appeal to the Board of Supervisors, there's no assurance that they're if to Board of Supervisors won't uphold their our acting. As far as the delay, you guys could have gone forward with your abatement order right away. Consideration you have in front of us today is somewhat separate. You could separate the fine action from the abatement action. So that could have been served already. You could go ahead and serve it tomorrow, right?
Yes, that's correct. But because this is part of the decision on the last hearing, we
can separate the decisions, and that would allow you to move forward with the abatement.
Yeah, depends on the outcome, which you come up with today.
Okay.
So again, the also other question is authority of imposing the fines and fees. If your decision is to recommend to us that we impose the daily fines retroactively, we'll take that. But if you're saying you want to impose those fines, then that's a legal determination that if your board can do that.
Yeah, that makes sense. Again, that's why I kind of skip back to, and again, I don't think this is a big, very big fine, but it really cleans everything up. That's how I see this, as in now we're not assessing fines, because the language that I understand is it wasn't staff recommendation to put these fines in. We put these fines in. Now as a board, we're overstepping our boundaries. Whether we are or we aren't,
it's in the ordinance that the fines are in there. We have already got
but there is nothing established of how much the fines were. I think that's, again, I think it's just cleaning up the language is how I understand this, correct?
Correct.
So what language are you looking for in order to impose this retroactive fine?
Well, let's see. The authority, if you're suggesting for us to impose that, that might be something that would be more acceptable than your board imposing it.
Tell me if I'm wrong, if I might have not heard this right. 719-5 or 500, whatever it was, it's in the ordinance for the fines. Am I correct?
Yeah, the ordinance allows fines up to $1,000 a day.
Right.
The methodology that they typically follow is to do it per truck rather than per day. And what we did last time, I thought, was, and I apologize if we directed, you would rather have us recommend, but we were urging you to do this, to go retroactive, because it's so egregious.
Yes. Well, we understand that. That's why we're...
And that's what... I guess the clarification is this board does not, we can recommend, right? We don't assess fines.
And we don't direct.
We don't direct or assess. We
recommend.
We recommend.
I urge. Can I urge? Is that a verb? No, seriously. Yeah.
Request. So could we
request? Verbally request?
All right, I'm ready almost for a motion.
Okay, go ahead.
But I think you're going to start it. I'm going to end it.
There we go.
Well, I'm still a little unclear. So I believe that the question of due process, in my mind, is clear. The due process has been met. Okay, so just to be clear on that. So I would move that we... respectfully decline your request for reconsideration and urge you to move forward with the retroactive fines.
And if you guys are writing this down, and I want it to stop immediately. And if Mr. Peters has to go out there daily and start taking notes and pictures or whatever it takes, that will stop it. Because apparently calling the sheriff or calling whoever is supposed to be, is there a weight limit on this road? I would assume there is. I know there's a weight limit on Happy Valley Road, and they ignored it after they knocked the telephone pole down on the corner. But anyway, it needs to stop. It needs to stop immediately. So however the county wants to do that, I'm going to put that in my motion, in your motion. But
so this activity they are going on is not criminal in any way.
We have not. We've talked to the district attorney about this case. They will consider it if it does help that, because I'm not a criminal lawyer or anything.
Yeah.
So I cannot make that determination so far, but I think that all the actions we're taking could potentially Yeah, so that would be a question for our lawyers.
But again, if we're not changing, can we add language to this motion? I mean, I think we're just trying to
amend.
What's that?
The hearing is about amending. So you can amend it any way you want, or
okay.
You could decline to amend it at all.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, they're requesting that we amend
the original motion.
Yeah.
Would they make it a point to uphold the abatement section? So that still stands. We're just amending
Absolutely.
The retroactive fee part of it. Fines of it. Yeah.
Well, as far as I understand your motion, you were gonna we're gonna go ahead with the fines. And my alternate or my added to your motion is that we're gonna have the sheriff come and stop the whole thing, and it's gonna start tomorrow. Am I right on that?
We can't do that. No. Sorry.
Even though they're breaking the ordinance.
We have to follow legalities about trying to stop an activity. That could be an injunction or something. But we're exploring those possibilities with our attorney.
Hey,
yeah.
Your attorney.
At this point, I don't counsel them. I counsel you. They have a separate attorney. For very important due process reasons.
I would love to change their case, but I just can't do that.
Whether or not this is a criminal matter is to be determined, very likely, but to be determined. However, there isn't a basis for the sheriff to go out and put a cane up the driveway at this point, and it's not within the board's ambit to order that. You can make recommendations to that staff, you know, pursue that. I don't think it's necessary, because it sounds to me like staff already is pursuing it, you know, to every extent that they can. But the proceeding before us for staff is a preliminary step. Abatement, give them the opportunity to abate. If they don't abate, civil, maybe criminal penalties would be the next step. The ordinance allows that. The ordinance allows the Board of Supervisors to even separately pursue civil injunction if they want, but not this court.
So procedurally, if we were to amend our last motion, could we, if we were to move forward with the abatement action right away and they don't respond within 30 days, I mean, can we advise them if they don't respond within 30 days, get the abatement underway, there will be fees applied retroactive to the beginning of the violation? Can you hang that, you know, can it like be hanging over their head? I don't know.
I think the problem with that is,
sure there is.
It doesn't acknowledge that there is a healthy debate about whether adequate due process has been given. If you do that, and it turns out staff's correct that due process hasn't been given, then those fines are not chargeable, and it's another ground for appeal. But what you can do, I think you said it, or reverse the vice chair says it, was to recommend that staff pursue what they believe to be the legal and procedural correct way to impose it retroactively. And let staff follow the process that they believe is the correct way to do it, since they believe there's a weakness here. And fundamentally, if this gets finalized and it doesn't go to the board for whatever reason, not unlikely, they haven't showed up today, maybe they won't appeal. then it's a final determination, and any procedural flaws might threaten the determination. And so to be cautious, not to say you don't have the right, but to be cautious, could follow, could direct staff to take whatever steps they feel weren't taken in assessing the retroactive fines. And then you get there. The abatement can proceed separately. The retroactive fine is on its own and can patch up whatever procedural issues staff receives. That's one way to amend the motion. And you said it, I'm just sort of elaborating.
Well, but actually I said I was rejecting their the recommendation, so I have to
But then you said you wanted to request
it. Yeah, I want to request it. Yeah.
And the abatement notice was never given?
No.
Ever?
It was on hold because of this concern about due process.
All right. So you want to make two motions out of it, or you want to make more?
I think we can do it in a single motion. That so my motion would be to accept your recommendation and request that you take the necessary actions to get the abatement started, notify them of abatement requirement as soon as possible, and to consider ways to apply these fines retroactively to the beginning of the violation.
I'm going to second that motion with one correction. Soon as possible means immediately. So strike as soon as possible and put in immediately. But believe me, I've dealt with that before.
Okay, good with that.
I second that motion. Do you want to read it back?
Do you guys get
it? So basically it's
we accept the
staff recommendation
and requesting that you start the abatement immediately or abatement notification immediately, and you consider ways of applying this retroactive fines within due process.
There you have it.
So the last section where you're talking about those fines, are you talking about the fines since
the per day
going forward or from?
No, I'm asking them to find a way that they're comfortable with in applying these $1,000 per day fine retroactive to the beginning of the violation. But I'm asking them to do that. We're not trying to apply the fines ourselves or directing them to do it. We're just asking them to do it.
We're giving them the authority to fine them to the extent that they feel comfortable fining them with, I guess, the paper trail that shows that what you guys feel comfortable fining, right? Basically.
It's, yeah, to me, it's not a level. It's just, you guys know what we want to do. You feel you have a way to get there, but protecting the due process, and I'm asking you to. Sorry, Damien, that's really convoluted.
No, so what I have is the board accepts a staff recommendation and requests that staff notify the respondent of payment proceeding immediately and to consider applying fees throughout, including from inception of violation.
Do you have that retroactive though?
Retroactive from the start of the fine.
From the start of the violation.
Right.
Fine, so, okay. Start of the violation.
Retroactively from the start of the violation.
Violations, yes. And
as far back as staff feels comfortable.
Well, I have started violation, but they're going to, my understanding is they're going to find the way to do it as best they can. And they may not be able to go all the way back. I don't know, but they're going to work it. They're going to try to do what our intent was, which is find them from the beginning of the violations and not per truckload, but per day.
Is that a 5-day a week?
I don't know.
7 days.
Yeah. I don't know.
Borrow money on 7 days. OK. Okay, I second that motion.
Yeah, so we take a vote.
Okay. Chair Eddy?
Yes.
Aye. Yes. Vice Chair Susan?
Yes.
Chair Member Impon?
Yes.
Motion passes. That motion is passing for both items on the code enforcement agenda.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Agenda item G, alcohol beverage sales, administrative hearing.
There are no alcohol beverage sales items.
Approval of minutes from meeting of June 26.
So moved.
Hold on, there's a correction. Under Eric Sweet, 1221 Northland Road, there's Paul, and it's not Giannani, it's Baliano, and he has the correct spelling, so we need to correct that. Northland, yes. Oh, you got a South Glen Road. Yes, that has to be the correction there too.
Let me change prior.
Great.
Priest,
Basin, Priest. Good business. Did you guys
capture those? South Glen Road to
North Glen.
Okay.
And the correct spelling of Paul's last name. And then there was a correction on what was the other one?
Paul's address.
Well, they got that.
And Mr. Priest is paying the bill, P R E E C.
Yes.
Property.
Oh,
earlier in the. So I move the minutes with those edits.
Yes.
Okay, second, Frank.
The second.
You want to open public comment just so they can come up to make sure we've got our corrections.
Good idea. So we'll open public comment on the minutes. Thank you. So any corrections to the minutes, you can come on up.
Well,
just like name corrections and address corrections.
The ones you just said.
Yep.
Right.
Just so they can hear it. And Paul Baliano.
By your last name, please.
Fagliano. 11995 South Flynn Road. And then I don't know if Jason's on. But Jason Priest's name is misspelled also.
Okay. And Jason Priest is he's on the fourth paragraph down under item one. Jason Priest with a P, P R E E C E. And then and his name is also misspelled on the second to last name from the bottom.
That was also Jason.
Any other comments or questions? All right, we'll close public comment.
I was unclear on the fine. You said you were going to leave it up to them to change the fine. Does it staying at $1,000 a day?
Yes.
That wasn't mentioned. And so I don't know if that can be changed.
That's in the ordinance.
It's not,
that's how the ordinance reads.
Yeah. So got another motion for the minutes.
I move we approve the minutes with the edits.
Second.
Okay. Chair Eddy. Vice Chair
Susan. Yes.
Member Emma.
Yeah.
Okay. Motion carries.
We're going to go to the consent calendar.
There are no items on the thank you all.
And our regular calendar. So we have an additional use permit for 12 Vineyards.
Yes, and staff planner William Chin is here to present on PLN 2025-73, the conditional use permit for 12 Vineyards. Good afternoon, board members. This is William Chin with the Alameda County Planning Department. I am here to present a brief staff report and presentation for the Wente Wind Yard's conditional use permit for the continued operation of the Wente Conference Series, tasting room, and other winery related events at the Wente Vineyards. The location is 5050 Royal Road in Livermore, and within the agricultural zoning district and the cultivated agriculture combining district overlay, and under the large parcel agricultural land use designation of the East County Area Plan, and this is an existing facility. This is an aerial view of the existing structures, buildings, and the proposed stage. So as you can see right in the middle here where my mouse is where the proposed stage is, and there are and there is a lot of seating right in front of the stage. These are the parking areas designated in the orange yellow arrows. This is the tasting room here. The event center is on the middle of the page towards the right hand, and then there's offices and also the winery building on the bottom left. So in 1985, the plan department approved the use of existing structures for the winery, operation of the winery. And in 1988, we permitted the use of the property for a concert series through a conditional use permit. There are no proposed changes to the existing property or operations. And there are 10 confirmed concerts for 2025 year. The average attendance is 500 to 800 people on the lower end and 1,000 to 1,300 individuals for the higher end. And there are also 15 other planned non-concert events throughout the year. As previously stated, is within the large parcel agricultural land use designation of the East County Area Plan, which permits agricultural processing facilities and also visitor serving commercial facilities, as well as, for example, a winery events or event center. And under the ECAP program that supports those type of uses within the South Livermore Area Plan, which supports majority of the wine-related uses for commercial uses, et cetera. And in May of 2025, the Board of Supervisors adopted a resolution to promote additional visitor-serving uses within the South Livermore Area Plan. And under the zoning ordinance, agricultural winery-related uses and events are permitted through this conditional use permit process as it was approved initially in 1985. And they're going through the same process with no proposed changes for this specific conditional use permit. And under this complies with both the intent of the zoning district and the East County area. These are the tentative findings, as it is a growing need, producing not only revenue for the region, but also bringing in visitors from around the country, et cetera. The use is properly related to adjoining residential uses, and there are also winery uses in the area as well. There are no adverse impacts, as the operator will comply with all health, safety, building, and fire code regulations under the Alameda County Planning. And it is conditionally permitted use within the agricultural zoning district and under the East County Area Plan through the conditional use permit process. Staff recommends that the East County Board of Zoning Adjustments votes to approve the conditional use permit to allow the continued operation of the Wente Concert Series, Tasting Room, and other winery-related events at the Wente Vineyard, subject to Exhibit B, dated June 24, 2025, and the draft conditions of approval under the draft resolution for East County Board of Zoning Adjustments. The applicant is in virtually here for any questions, for any operational questions or technical operations. The staff is also available virtually.
Thank you.
Any questions for staff? What's the length of these? Is this a 10-year or is that part of this path before I did see?
So the length of this conditional use permit would be for 10 years.
So every 10 years, it's just renewed. Okay. Yeah. With that, I will open public comment. If anybody would like to speak on this matter, it's a good time to do so. Damien, is anybody online that would like to speak?
There are no hands raised. Currently, if you'd like to raise your hand, you could use the raise hand function on the bottom of your screen. And there are no
the applicant doesn't want to speak.
No, not at this time.
That will close public comment.
You just got a person who would like to speak. That's Carl W.
Carl.
And
we'll open public comment one more time.
Sorry about that. I'm only saying it because you said, hey, no need to speak. Brendan Finley is here, our Senior Vice President of Hospitality Operations, but I think the findings speak for themselves, the ongoing business that we've been doing. So thank you to staff for the findings, the work that goes into this, and thank you to the board for consideration on this one. We welcome any questions, but again, I think the findings are pretty straightforward. So thank you.
Thank you, Carl. David, anybody else online?
No one else.
All right, but that will close public comment.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Take a roll call.
Chair Eddy.
Yes.
Vice Chair Souza.
Yes.
Member Imhoff.
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you.
All right.
Number two, item, you have your board elections.
Perfect.
Great.
So we're going to nominate Vice Chair Souza to take over the gavel. I make a motion to elect Vice Chair.
Yep. Okay. Chair Eddy?
Yes.
Vice Chair Souza?
Yes.
Member Imhoff?
Yes.
Okay. Motion carries.
What's the effective date?
Effective date.
Tomorrow.
Actually,
immediately.
Once this meeting closes. Is there any staff comments or correspondence today?
Are you doing election for vice chair?
Oh, yeah, we probably should do that.
Oh, thank you.
Elections for vice chair. Frank, you want to take all the duties?
If you're asking me, yes.
All right.
Or you can't be late.
No, so good.
All right, take. Vice Chair will be Imhoff.
Yes. Okay.
I moved.
Chair.
Yes.
Chair Eddy, yes.
Yep.
Okay.
Yes.
Vice Chair and member. Motion carries.
Yes.
Okay.
Motion that Lori takes office immediately and she closes the meeting.
Why do you have to do that?
Because we have to do that. So now you actually.
Oh, well, with that, I'd like officially to thank Damien for his service as chair. Yeah, the meeting is adjourned.
There are no staff comments, correspondence. Any board announcements?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
With that, I bring it to adjourn.
Good job.
Thanks for being cool.